You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am 87. The entire crew is here, and they're actually here. My man Jay Moore is in the building. How are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, blessed and highly vaccinated.
I feel you. My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
Kicking and flapping and flying and stuff. Nah, I'm doing all right. You know, kicking but...
You can just throw one out there. We'll go with it. Go ahead, give me one.
This is like a replay from last week. Yeah. Kicking but can't fly and flapping but can't... What's that? Don't throw rocks if you're in the middle of a...
We'll take that. Yeah, we'll leave it there. We'll work on it. My man DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
How's everything with you?
I like turtles.
This is going to be a thing now.
Yeah.
It's going to be every week.
Got a feeling this is going to be a good show today. My man Red August is in the building.
I got to see what next week's going to be.
Yeah, man. You need to start working on those because I think people are...
I like turtles.
Going to start looking for you to do that. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get into the rundown. So Black Star has finally announced that the album is going to drop on May 3rd. And it was tall black guy who reposted a conversation that Talib and Mos were having as it related to the album not coming out and when people were frustrated about it. And yeah. there was some quotes on there that...
It was from their interview from last
year. It was last year, I think.
Yeah, when Mos went on Talib's show.
On his podcast?
Yep.
So I pulled a couple, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I did listen to, you know, replay the interview, but... some of the stuff that I wrote down was creatives shouldn't have to split a penny, which I agree with. He was going off about the streaming. And, you know, why it would be direct to consumer if they dropped it. People that really love art at some point want to make art.
Yeah, and that was interesting too.
What he said that he said the audience is important, but you MFs don't get to tell me what I get to do with my art. So he was kind of snapping. You could tell they were feeling a little bit of the pressure because that there was no updates. They couldn't give the core fans an update. He says, if you want to make the next Black Star album that bad, then you make it. Oh, but you can't. So at this point, he's really going in on, you know, the consumers that were pressing him about, obviously, about when it's going to come out. He's like, respectfully, mind your business. So
mind your business.
Mind your business. Shout out to Fresh Prince.
So this is relevant because... They've announced.
It's about to come on. But the homie Tall Black Guy posted this, and what I noticed in the comments was it was kind of 50-50 on the topic of, do you talk to your core audience and address them like that, your fans? Is that a way that you speak to them? I mean, candor is important. You want your artists to be honest, but I saw some people saying, I would never address my fans like that. Other people were like, Mos is right on the money. I felt no way about it, and you just got to wait till the album come out. So
really everybody addresses entitlement fans like that.
You're not entitled to buy art. Yeah.
There's a certain type of fans that they're talking to, though. It's like it's not like they're talking to the blanket of their whole fan base.
Right.
But there are certain, like he said, entitled fans that think that they're writing the outline in the book to what this artist is supposed to do.
Right.
And I think they have every right to say that. I mean, Jay-Z's put it in his verses when he talked about
Buy my old albums.
Yeah. Kanye West has played with it too. I mean, everybody wants Kanye West to go back to what he was.
He'd be trolling about it too. Yeah.
But I mean, that's something that people do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like we just talked about Cardi B last week.
Right.
Her fans was upset that she wasn't at the Oscars.
Or Grammys.
Grammys.
Yep. I mean, some people just talk and have no room to be speaking on these people's lives like that. So I can dig it.
What did you think, Long? That just as a creative being like, I just gotta wait.
I think he's 100% right. It's their thing. It's not anybody else's, and you can't force art. You know.
I agree with that.
You know, like I would love a Black Star album, but I don't want to force Black Star album. Just like I don't want to force Little Brother album. Like I don't want Ninth and Fontaine and Pooh to get together and make a record together if they don't like each other.
Agreed.
You know, I don't know. That's just me, though. And I guess from a creative standpoint, I am that person that I'm not going to do stuff just because somebody wants something. But, like, no.
He even mentioned the Drake line.
It's mine.
Where he talked about, you weren't with me shooting in the gym. You don't even know where the gym is. Yeah. Is what he said.
So no, I actually agree with him because, to me it is entitlement because you're not entitled to dictate like what a creative person does in their timeline, all that stuff, just because you have access to them. You know, access just gives you access. It doesn't give you any type of, you're not the A&R, you're not the label exec. I mean, you're not Yasiin Bey. So, nah, I was with him. I actually thought it was kind of cool that he addressed it in the way that he did. So,
yeah, okay. I can respect it. Jay Moore, what you think, man, in terms of how you addressed the entitled fans?
You know, when I think he talks about entitled fans, I think he's also thinking about those people who are only going to stream it. And, you know, if you are really my fan, you know, you would pay for my art, you know, and not that you're not paying for it through your subscription, but really what, you know, how many times you would have to listen to that album for it to actually register as one entire sale. You know, if you're just going to listen to it a couple times and, you know, a couple songs here and there, that's never going to add up the amount of enjoyment you get out of it compared to the amount of work I put into it and the financial gain I get from it is nominal. Because at first especially when I saw that it's going to be behind, you know, be able to get is going to be behind a paywall. It's not going to be on any streaming services.
It'll be bootlegged in a mug.
We talked about that's this. True. We talked about
it's going to be bootlegged immediately. Just like, I've heard Donda too. I don't have a stream. I don't have a stream stem player.
I'll be honest. I'm not getting Luminary to listen to this project.
Yeah. I mean, but honestly,
and I love them.
But you know, it's going to pop up.
Yeah. I know I'll be able to get it, you know, but at the same time, if they gave me the opportunity to buy it.
Yeah, right.
If they said, okay, the Black Star, you're only able to buy it off of, like, you know, because you can still buy whole albums off of like Amazon or Apple Music. You have that option.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty sure if they were to say, we're not streaming it, but for $7.99,
right,
you can buy the new Black Star album and it comes, all that $7.99 comes to us.
Right.
Bandcamp. I mean,
I would be more than happy after all these years and being the fan that I bought Black on both sides at least 3 or 4 times. Yeah. It's been stolen or
about that
lost
and
it.
Singles.
Yeah, you know,
and singles.
So it's not like I'm not willing to buy your music. You know, even if I can't, even if you got, especially if you had like some limited vinyl. I mean, I tried to get the Let the Lord Watch vinyl, you know, but it was already gone by the time, you know, I got around to having, you know, the time and the money to get myself a copy. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's, I completely understand why any artist doesn't want their music streamed at this point, because you got to share the money with so many people who had nothing to do with the creative process.
I'm so glad Lone said Bandcamp, because I've had people ask me, if I drop anything on Bandcamp, when is it going to hit the streaming services? I'm like, it eventually will get there, but Bandcamp will tell the truth as to who's truly engaged with you, because they will reach out and buy it.
Right.
You can see who bought it. The email comes out and you can thank that person. And, you know, if they follow you on there, all that stuff. Bandcamp is a great way to see who's truly engaged with you. Look, that's why I like putting stuff on there.
Look, I just saw.
And it's like you said, direct, because it's direct.
I just
artist.
Saw like the Batman and the most recent Batman movie.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it just came out at the beginning of March. It's going to be on HBO Max.
On
the 18th.
Right.
So it's barely a month and a half.
Wait, is it going to be one of the ones like Black Widow where you got a cop, or will it just be on?
No, it's just going to be on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, think about the people who really want to see or wanted to see the Batman. They went out in those first 2 or 3 weeks, if not that first weekend, to go ahead and get it. They had no problem paying for it.
Definitely.
Instead of having to wait, you know, the 6 to 7 weeks to see it on HBO Max in their houses, you know, so
I can't the same way.
I really think, you know,
you can stagger it.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I completely understand how Black Star feels about not wanting to stream the record. I just wish there was a way for me to pay to get the album
in a way that you consume.
Yeah. What's the name of the situation where they're gonna, you have to get it from there?
Luminary.
Yeah, it's because isn't it the same place where Dave Chappelle's
it's the podcast
which I've never listened to because it's behind Luminary.
Exactly. Same thing.
You know, because I know it sounds crazy, especially us being creators, but I'm not paying to hear your podcast.
Well, that's why we don't have.
I mean, that's the only thing that's available on there. It's like, or maybe not. I don't know.
I was actually really confused by that because I thought it was just a podcast application.
Oh.
But apparently it's not. If you can,
I mean, there's so many podcasts that you can listen to that you don't have to pay for.
Like,
I mean,
I love Bomani Jones's podcast. Mm-hmm. But if they said, okay, you're going to pay $7.99 a month to hear The Right Time, I'd be like, nah, there's some other podcasts I can listen to for free.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. Especially,
the thing about it is, it's not tangible. So right. you're paying this just to listen to it that one time. And granted, you can go back and listen to it again, but it's not the same experience as actually having like a CD or cassette or record even and putting it in.
But I'm willing to pay the $7-$8 just for the file so I can have them on my phone and listen to them in my car when I go running or whatever.
As a consumer, I don't want to get my music. I don't want to jump through 12 different hoops to get to it. You know, I don't want it to be difficult for me to
want to sign up for Luminary.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And then have to go through another hoop and go through another paywall.
And then forget to not continue the subscription. Yeah. Exactly. Charged a random fee.
I'll be,
I'm sure we all got something we're paying for right now that we forgot about.
Oh, I went 100%.
While I was sitting here, I had to go through. I was like, wait, because I saw I was charged $4.99 through Amazon for one of those channels through my Amazon Video that I know I haven't watched in 2 months.
Like I
haven't watched Epic since Godfather Harlem.
Nah, for real.
You know, and I had the little free trial, and I was like, let me get rid of this because I'm not going to watch.
And the companies are smart too; they just let that mug run.
Yeah, I know.
They forgot about
it. They let it run, and then you're just like, I just had to call and cancel AMC Plus because I didn't sign up for it. I just noticed my bill was like $10-$15 more than it usually is. And it's like, what's going on here?
Lone, do you think they took that into consideration? Because that was one of the first things you talked about or mentioned in Discord was the fact that it could get, the link's going to be popping around. It's going to be floating around ASAP.
Immediately.
Do you think they thought about that?
They know.
I would hope so. I mean, shoot. I mean, I really would hope so. But I mean, we kind of talked about this last week even, right? With bootlegging and stuff. Like, it's going to be out there. And the people that know how to get it is going to get it. So I think
if I'm them, I put it on Bandcamp. Don't be above Bandcamp. Like Jay Moore, put it on $7.99. Just
put it on the traditional. Like I said,
so people can copy.
But you
can
only
stagger it though.
You only have the option of buying it. You can't stream it. You know, and I would, like I said, there are certain artists. Boom, I'm going to go ahead and buy it. If for the first 2 weeks I only have the option to buy it, I'm buying Little Brother.
This will
I'm buying Run the Jewels.
Right.
I'm buying Jay-Z. Yeah. You know.
I buy stuff that I want to support. I would happily support Black Star. But for the way that I consume, like, I'm not going to jump through a bunch of hoops for one group that I kind of like. It's not
hopefully it's good because, I mean, this is one of them things you're running into. You can't even hear it. Unfortunately, we're spoiled like that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
To where we can actually hear it before we purchase it because we come from an era where we got burnt.
Yeah.
Bad on some instances.
But
my default is always it's probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
And then maybe it'll be better.
I had to bring myself down because I got a little hyped. Then I heard about Madlib. I'm like, that's good. I like that Madlib is on a production completely, from what I understand.
Well, their problem is their first and only group album was Stellar.
Yes.
And it came out in, what, 96?
No, it was after that. Because
that was
98, 99.
You're right.
But still,
I mean, that's still a long
years.
Time ago.
Yeah.
You know, when there was no other option but for you to go to the store, buy an entire CD.
Exactly.
And consume it in that.
And that's with singles being pushed on video networks.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you might have had the option to download Real Audio Player and listen to it.
I mean, but
maybe. You know, but you couldn't do that in your car or anywhere else.
I'm sure they're going to drop like a music video for it or something, hopefully, so we can at least get
a taste
of it.
I hope they tour with at least something that you can purchase.
Yeah,
at least
I saw
vinyl or something.
I would prefer to just buy something physical.
Mm-hmm. There's a snippet on IG for this joint called Mineral Mountain.
Yeah, I heard that.
It has
Black Thought
on it.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds like it's going in the right direction. I wasn't blown away, but it sounds like it's going in the right direction.
I mean, the education joint that was on Gibbs and Most was on, or Yasin was on. I mean, that was good. So, I mean, if it sounds anything like that, I think it's probably going to be pretty decent. So
I think Madlib, to me, is the key component here. He's been you know, we always talk about Hit Boy's Run or whatever. Madlib has been right there in terms of the stuff that he's been putting out. So I trust him on the boards, their chemistry and everything. I, you know, we'll see. I'm not going to get my hopes up, but for their sake, I hope it's a good project. But the way they're releasing it, hey, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Yep, we'll see. I mean, maybe,
I hope they're successful with it. But,
me too.
But this may, you never know. If they're successful with it, then this might be the new wave. You know, might. You never know what, how, the, but if it doesn't work, it's going to tell a lot of people, like, okay, they tried that, so we're definitely not going that way.
You don't, which is, why you say
that,
Lou?
Here's my other thing, is they're talking about streaming and, you know, I don't want to misquote them, because is it just the streaming, the fact that streaming pays pennies?
How it's chopped down is what most was mad about.
But they're still releasing something not through their own
streaming service.
Yeah, it's like not theirs. Right. You know, like, so what percentage is Luminary taking from this? You know,
they got to be getting something.
I'm sure it's higher, right?
Because if there was a website called, and they told everybody to go to weareblackstar.com, there was a direct link to buy the album through MP3s, or even if it's something that has some sort of DRM onto it, to where if you bought it, it can play on your device and you can't share it. I mean, much like iTunes was, it still is, or Apple Music or whatever it's morphed into, because it's always changing. And I would go to weareblackstar.com and give them $8 to $9 directly. You know, as opposed to them having to go through, you know, because a lot of artists say, oh, we should do that. But I'm like, okay, you don't have the fan base and, you know, the traction to do some things
like
that.
Kanye with that stem player, he was able to not sell as many copies as he could. But I mean, we're talking about somebody that's a billionaire and he's selling stem players for $200. It doesn't really matter.
You know, he's looking like, hey, I got all the,
and people ate it up.
And he's like, I got all the money from Donda, even if it only sold 20,000 copies. I took, you know, the 20,000 copies that I sold is worth more than the 2 million that you're going to stream.
For sure.
So, you know, I think that
streaming's long term, though.
So much of the direct to consumer model is still evolving. And there are still things that people are trying to figure out as far as how it can benefit them, both financially and both artistically. Actually, I didn't need to.
I'll tell you who knows
there,
what's going on is the people that own those streaming services.
The services, yeah,
because it's steady working in their favor, regardless.
Yeah, I can at least appreciate that.
Yeah,
but
do you all think the day that it drops, is it too soon to say a link will be out that day?
It will be out that day.
You'll be able to view it on YouTube if it comes out at midnight.
Yeah.
You know, Eastern Standard Time.
You have to catch it before they take it down.
Yeah.
It'll be on somebody's playlist on YouTube.
Midnight Pacific Standard Time.
It'll be
on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I mean, probably multiple accounts, and then they'll have to go through and
pull them down.
Hire all these people that they could have.
Look, what people do. Remember, there used to be like groups of people like ripped by the so-and-so, like they actually wanted their own credit.
They put their tags on
the MP3s that they ripped.
But they can hire, there's companies out there that'll do that for them, but who knows? I mean, at the same time, you know, you're spending that money to hire these people to make sure that your stuff isn't bootleg, so doesn't it balance out a little bit? I don't know. There's no right answer. I mean, but if this is the way they want to go,
Right. It's constant evolution in how we consume art. You know, in 10 years, they're going to be like, you streamed music? What is that? Yeah. You know, it's going to be something completely different.
It's going to be injected into our blood.
Yeah, exactly. You just wake up. I mean, everybody's about to get the chip in their hand anyway, you know.
That's what they say.
Got a whole bunch of NFTs on the metaverse.
Yeah,
ads built into things that we see. Like we can't close our eyes.
Because as soon as you wake up, you'll be in the metaverse. You know what I'm saying? Because it'll be something that you have to have.
Yeah. Black Mirror.
Yeah. So
Black Mirror in real life.
And so as soon as you wake up, it'll be like new Freddie Gibbs.
You wake up to the new Freddie Gibbs song.
Amen. You won't have a choice.
Just send me the link outside.
You remember how mad people were that one time when they put that U2 album on the
everybody's
phone?
Yeah, it showed up. In,
they
not
got
even
a lot
their phone.
Of backlash
their
for that.
Just their iPod.
Yeah.
It wasn't even iPhone.
No, it was a phone.
Was it a phone?
No, it wasn't even
I can't remember.
What was it?
It was a phone. Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a phone. Yeah, so, people were like, "What is this? What is this U2 album?" And the thing that was crazy about it,
you couldn't take it off.
You couldn't get rid of it.
I forgot about that, man.
That's like the book. I don't know if y'all remember the book that they were sending everybody, like right when the pandemic hit. Everybody was getting this book in the mail.
I didn't remember that. Mm-mm.
I think he's right, but I probably forgot about it.
Everybody literally got a book in the mail.
I think he's right.
What was it about?
I can't even remember, man. But there was a book.
He is right.
That everybody was getting.
Because I remember looking
You a part of the beast.
Yeah. It was like some person in like Missouri or something was sending a whole bunch of books out. Mm. Or maybe it was something else.
I don't know who it was.
I remember looking at it, being like, what is.
Or maybe I'm thinking of something else. I don't know.
I'm uncomfortable even talking about this book.
I'm telling you.
Hey, listen. He said with the beast. All right, man.
Well, all right.
Let's go. Let's get to this next topic. All right, so there's a lawyer named Dina LaPolt. She runs her own firm, her own law firm, actually. Shout out to her for that. It's called LaPolt Law.
Hello.
PC. And there's an article that she wrote on Variety. They also referenced an interview with Pharrell over the topic of recordings being called master recordings and how that should be taken away because of the previous couple years and George Floyd and protests. And when she first said it, I was like, okay, let me see if there's anybody that backs this up. And then it goes over to another interview where Pharrell actually co-signs this, not from her, but he thought it was a good idea as well to stop using the term master recording because of what it quote unquote, you know, implies. What do y'all think about that? Because are we doing too much here on this one?
Yeah. Like,
is this...
I mean, we got real things to worry about.
The reason why I voted for this topic was not because of that. I thought it was something completely else.
No, that's what she was going.
Master recording.
Master recording. Yeah.
Look, you know,
slave recording.
Master in Ableton,
recording.
Is it called the slave recording? No.
There's literally in Ableton. There's a slave and a master track that you can run.
Yep.
But that's what it is.
I mean, just
the
like
slave
is a term. I mean, it is.
Look, just like if you have a computer and say it has two hard drives, there's the master hard drive where you have your operating system.
Right.
And then
don't do that.
And then the slave hard drive, which may house just files and, certain programs. I'm sorry, but like I remember when I was training for this particular job, I won't mention the company, and like the person who was running the training session tried to be all offended for the black people in the room.
Oh, okay.
And we were like, it's not that serious. You know, like if you black, you got real problems other than how they're naming hard drives inside of a cable box
Did anybody rock with them though?
No. No, we were like, calm down. I mean, you know, we could, if you wanted to get all deep and brother knowledge about it, you know, but like why they call it the master bedroom and all this. No, fam.
Yeah, that's along the same line.
Look, there's so much of
master
what
suite.
It is that we there's probably so much of what it is that we say in everyday our vernacular and that we use is probably tied to racism that it's not even we don't even think about it anymore. And it's
rule
messed
of
up.
Thumb. You know where that comes from?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. A barrel of laughs. Do you know where that comes from?
I don't actually.
Okay, well, you know, we're not going to get into it now.
Sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's a whole bunch of euphemisms.
It's a whole bunch of stuff that we say.
Wrong word.
Not that, you know, but it's like I don't have time. Yeah. Like I have to deal with real genuine racism.
Hey,
it's just one of those
in my
things.
Life that I don't have time to worry about the different. Let's just remember when they changed the you don't call them NBA
owners. Yeah,
you don't call them owners anymore. They're governors.
Okay. Well, they own the team.
They still own the team.
Loan like a loan. That took loan out. Governors took loan out.
Listen, it's just one of those things where they try to put a band-aid.
How many
on
black
some
governors
stuff?
Are there?
Who
in
knows?
Anything.
I don't know.
Maybe they should change that name,
stupid.
Too.
Yeah.
Don't do that long. Go ahead.
It's stupid, man. And extra, man. It's just one of them things that, like Jay Moore said, being mad, extra mad for no reason. I don't know if y'all seen the newest season of Atlanta at all.
I haven't.
Weird as hell.
There was a episode where he's in a party and this chick acts like he's trying to talk to her. He wasn't trying to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the other white people at the party about it, and they pretty much just took it as, oh, she was being racist. Mind you, it was an Asian woman that the black dude was accused of, or she was accusing him of talking to. They end up kicking her out of the party. One of the guys was engaged to her. He called the whole wedding off. It's like all that extra stuff.
that we're not offended by.
That we don't even care that much about. It's like, people what be was offended that? The Aunt Jemima syrup thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, I understand the storyline and her family wasn't getting paid. Look, just pay her the money and keep the name Aunt Jemima syrup.
The check would have done me just fine. Yeah, I took the check and paid let's keep it rolling. Yeah. But as a family member.
At the end of the day, it's like you're trying to appease and be fake woke about stuff that a lot of people really don't care about. Like, let's make some for real change that people can be like, okay, that makes sense.
Well, it says William suggested that the company get ahead of that people start to get ahead of this and do the right thing and start with the, and it starts with the terminology, master and slave. Master being the main recording and slave being all the copies that are made.
I get it, but like maybe this is a blind spot of me. I don't know, but I don't know. It just, I'm sure there's going to be a time when this is going to be a controversial
100%.
You know what I mean? But like
100%. I've never thought about it.
But like,
you don't think about it until somebody says it.
Right.
And still, like, it's what it is.
But I don't.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always, throughout history, there have always been masters and slaves in different cultures everywhere.
It's not.
And that's literally what it is. So, like, what are we upset at?
You know how many times somebody's asked you as a producer, can you send me the master waves?
I mean, I teach. There's an option in Ableton where it's the master, and you can slave it to something else. That's what it does.
Put it out there: slaves and masters is not directly correlated with only black people. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
the term slave goes back to biblical terms. I mean, like
white people were slaves first.
You know, someone's going to be in the comments. Topic.
You just lit yourself. You put yourself on fire in the comments.
The Eastern Lithuanian. All right, man.
Be cool.
I don't know.
Be cool.
Shout out to Lithuania.
You just did another 100 comments right there.
Eastern Orthodox Russian Federation of Mongolia.
And you got a white t-shirt on too.
Extra double. White.
I tell you what. but yeah, I mean, nothing against Pharrell. I know he, you know, because I know he went through a thing with his cousin and you know, but also these are rich black people problems. I've watched the news every day, fam, and they can't, like, they just passed, you know, an anti-lynching act after almost 100 years, and there's still some Republicans who voted against it. You know, we still can't get a Justice and Policing Act passed,
right?
We still can't get basic voting rights restored.
We just had to watch like a Supreme Justice
Go
through a whole bunch of racism
on in HD.
Yeah.
Like,
for them to say, you're the most qualified person who's ever been in here. I can't vote yes, though.
Okay.
Yeah. This is where we at.
So, you know,
this is a whole nother political segment.
Let's fix the real
racism. And then we can get to the this racism that's not really an inconvenience to anybody's life.
Yeah. I think Lone summed it up when he said this is going to become something at some point. I believe that.
Who knows?
I really believe
this is racism busy work instead of, you know, it's, you know, just like, remember you used to get busy work in school. Your teacher didn't really she didn't have a test to give you or any homework to assign. But here's just something for y'all to do so you can be quiet and maybe
it's liberal stuff, man. Liberal stuff.
Stuff that doesn't really address the problems of racism in America, but we can feel better about ourselves. Yeah. Just like
this is the real thing that they need to talk about when they're talking about distractions. Versus entertainment being a distraction.
Yeah.
Right.
When they're fake being mad about something
right.
to distract you from the actual problems.
Yeah. This is,
are distractions.
Yeah. Yeah. Entertainment is always going to be entertainment. Yeah.
Right.
But when you think you're actually doing something to, you know, strike blows in the name of anti-racism in America and, you know, like, hey, let's change.
We fixed the master-slave problem.
In computing, you know. But, can you make sure everyone has equal access to polling places? I don't know, man. It seems like a lot.
That's a stretch right there.
Let's work on these master recordings first.
Can we have a real discussion about reparations? Whoa. Let's go ahead and change the name of another football or hockey team.
Continue the culture wars.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought this was like about the calling like a master recording I had no idea that this is what this was about. I was like, it was I got a
little miscommunication in there.
Side swipe.
Side swipe.
It's all good.
Yeah,
it's
no, like, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, it's, yeah, somebody need to say it.
Yeah.
I'm just not up in arms about it. I'm sorry.
Well, Terry.
We should use shouts to A. We should, primary and secondary.
Primary and secondary.
Okay. That works.
It's proper.
Cool. Yeah. That'll keep the... I know I said four times. Well, that'll keep the liberals busy for a while.
Doesn't matter because somebody else is always going to own your... Somebody's always going to own your primary recordings.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Long, can you send me those primary wave files, please, that I asked you for the other night? Not the secondary ones. The primary ones, please.
Yeah. Which version of primary?
Exactly.
The red, blue, and yellow ones.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's... Red August, can we shout out the partners real quick, sir? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Thanks, Red August. Shout out to our partners as always. Shout out to the chat as well. We see you.
All right.
All right. Don't do that. All right. Let's go to the next.
And politically, we didn't mean anything when we were talking about libs.
Yes.
And liberals and whatever.
No. I mean,
those were jokes.
Kind of. Yeah.
No, I meant all of that.
I mean, that's a deeper discussion.
Yeah, we're not going to go there today.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's go ahead and get into this next topic. So there's a producer. It goes by Too Dope, and I like how he spells the name.
How dope is he?
Too Dope with the exclamation point on the end.
Because you like exclamation points.
You know, I use them on Twitter. I use 15.
Way too much.
Mm-hmm. 15, 20 of them, yeah. I'm going to start doing 30 to make long, man. But he signed a production deal with the company called Warner Chapel, I believe. Warner Chapel Music. He had a placement on...
Is that a Christian?
I hate him. He had a placement on Drake's album. He co-produced the Way Too Sexy joint featuring Future and Young Thug.
Not my favorite.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, with producer TM88, and I think that song, that record's been streamed 350 million streams and counting. So
man, it's amazing how good a horrible record can do.
Man, he out there getting to it. But young fella signed a deal. He's also worked with, they had a few more names, 42 Doug, Roddy Rich. So. He's established, so he actually get his feet wet, and the company was excited about signing him. But what do you think, Lone, as a producer, what do you think about production deals now with how accessible producers are to artists? Do you think they can still be beneficial? I think from a placement standpoint, he'll be able to get into a lot of rooms that he may not have.
Maybe.
But on the flip side, we don't know what the paperwork is like with the percentages versus...
It's a lot lower.
It's a lot lower. You think it's a lot lower?
Yeah, because there's an extra middleman in there, right?
Well, yes, you know they're gonna chop it up.
Yeah,
but
so
a lot of producers now getting in the inboxes. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the production world has changed in the last 5 years. There's a lot of collaboration going on.
Agreed.
Even one of my students, former students, he got a handful of placements, but he was collaborating with other artists.
Yep.
So it was like he did the melody, somebody else did the drum, somebody else did something else, but one of those people had a connection, so they got it in front of this artist.
Right.
And he's got like two or three decent, you know, like K-Camp and some, I think, T-Grizzly and
dope.
Stuff like that.
That's,
you know,
dope.
I mean? But they're all like co-production credits.
Right.
And I remember he hit us up. We had a, I think I mentioned this on the show a while back, but we actually connected him with Jake One.
Yeah.
For him to ask some questions kind of about this specifically, you know, because somebody wanted to kind of sign him to a producer deal.
Mm.
And the answer was, you know, maybe, you know, and I think that's pretty much, I think that's the answer. Like, it can be beneficial, but you have to understand that this is the music industry, right?
This guy even mentioned.
And it's shady. That's.
Oh, it's 100%.
That's the second, the punchline of that. Yeah. So,
but he even mentioned Southside and TM88. They came up together, collaborating. Yeah. So, to your point, it sounds like he got there with them.
Then I think that's different. You know what I mean? Like, so if you could, to me, it could be something similar to like a management deal.
Could be.
You know, and I think it's, if it's in that realm and it's somebody you trust and you know they're not going to screw you over, then maybe it's a good deal. But just signing a straight production deal with some random person that says, hey, I can get you this or I can get you this, and there's some sort of exclusivity involved and you lose percentages and stuff. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, the more people that are involved, the more it's going to get chopped down. We know that.
Yeah.
But I just think that there are pros and cons to everything, obviously. But when I said he may be able to get into some rooms that he might not just on his own, that is the one thing that always sticks out to me. I think that's the value.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because you cut through the bull, you know, to get to.
Yeah, I guess if I would mention it to any producer, I would say if you are going to sign a production deal, don't do anything super long term.
Mm-hmm.
And do something where you can get your feet wet a little bit, see if there's any benefit in it for you.
Right.
See if you can feel out the situation so that you can pivot if you need to.
Right.
You know, but make sure that you definitely have your paperwork right. I mean, that's without said, but we've been talking about this on the show all the time. But yeah, like definitely make sure that your stuff is in order. Call your attorneys and have it talk this contract out and make sure there is a contract involved.
Mm-hmm. And don't sign with Jay Jerkin.
So
those are my thoughts.
I'm not familiar with the producer. I'm going to do more research and my due diligence, because sounds like he's on his way, and I'm happy for the kid to
get
the position. It's just the topic came up in my mind because we've seen both sides, you know, and this direct, we talked about direct consumer as it related to Black Star and the fan. I mean, it's the same way with some of these artists now,
right,
from a collaboration standpoint.
So is the actual company that he works for or is signed to, are they the ones doing the placements?
Well, I'm going to have to, from what the way I understand it here, TM88 is a producer that has his own company, and this young man works underneath that. So it's a collaboration deal. The way I'm reading it is they're going to help them with the placements, like get him into positions, help him shop the beats, that type of thing, which to me is dope. It's just, I know it's going to be chopped down if he's already a part of one company and they're going to have to get this
middleman.
Yeah.
For the most part.
So it's, I mean, you're going to get the looks though.
Yeah.
You're going to get the looks.
If that person is in those rooms, then you could get the looks. And that's the kind of key part. I would just make sure you get your credit. Make sure that
credit is everything.
You know, like, especially if you're producing for stuff, because don't be a ghost producer.
Right.
Unless you're getting a lot of money.
Yeah.
But like,
I would ghost produce. I'd be quiet if it was worth it.
But it would take a lot for me to not put my name on.
Yeah, because if you ghost produce and then so it goes to number one, they're not going to call you.
Nah. True. That's true.
Yeah.
It had to be worth it.
It had to give you a lot of hush money.
Yeah.
You know, I just think with all of this,
they're coming back to you to do some more of that ghost work.
Yeah. They'd be like, we need that same sound.
Yeah.
Can you get us the ghost guy? I don't know whose name is on it, but we want the ghost guy.
You know, but that's another phone call that somebody has to make that doesn't go directly to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's also, you know, just like everything in the entertainment industry, especially now when there is so much access, because at one point there was no access to a direct to consumer.
It was different
model.
20 years ago.
True.
You know, that's you true. Really had to have somebody who was already established speak for you, even if you already had four or five number ones, because people are very much, what have you done for me lately?
That's true.
Now, you know, if you can produce four or five hits, like, okay, think about somebody like Hit Boy, who did all that work for Jay-Z and Kanye on Watch the Throne. You know, you see stories like he's just now getting his paperwork together to where he's out of his production deal and he's able to actually see the lion's share of the credit and the money.
He's
for the
open
work
about
he's
how
done.
Bad that deal was.
You know,
he's open about it.
I mean, but probably at the time it was like, okay, we're going to get you in the room or have this
good
music
point.
Played for these artists. And even if we're just, hey, here's $100,000 up front, it probably changed his life.
Of course it did.
Sure.
You know,
same token, he could still produce under that same umbrella, but just not say it's from Hit Boy.
Could, but you know, but people be like, I want that Hit Boy. But I mean, there are people who've had to evolve. Like, it used to be Young Berg, now it's Hitmaker.
Right.
And I don't know if that had to do with his paperwork or just
the fact. Young Berg was the rapper, and he called himself Hitmaker. When he transitioned over to the production side,
you know, but
his pen game is high.
It just was a situation to where, you know, here's somebody who's supremely talented, you know, with Hit Boy, and he's you can't deny that.
Yeah.
who had to go through years of being signed to a jerk contract to where, like, people could have hit him up directly and be like, "Hit Boy, let's work."
Yeah.
You know, but he had to, you know, he was signed to this production deal. And there's, whenever you sign a deal and they, and that person may have a deal, there's a whole bunch of people get to touch your money before you touch it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think Hit Boy,
if you could just tell people that and let them understand, it's like, "Oh yeah, you got $100,000. That's dope." And, but you realize that other people split up another $900,000 on your behalf. And that happens all the time in the record industry.
Sometimes it works out. It works out for the better. Same example for that album. Murder. I think it was Murder for Excellence. Is that the name of the record on
Watch the Throne?
S1 produced that. And he tells a story about how they flew him out to Hawaii and he had to play the beats and go through, you know, Kanye
Murder
saying
Murder to Excellence.
Murder to Excellence. Thank you. I knew it was, I was close. But S1 talked about how he was in the room with Kanye and Kanye was like, "Man, why did I even bring you out here?" Because he played one beat that wasn't it. But he stayed in there, refocused, chopped the sample up, and it worked. And he's still known for that. He got his credit. So now that's a huge feather in his cap to be able to say, "I did that joint on Watch the Throne."
And that's
so
cool, it was doing stuff way before that.
Right. And that's, he's one of my favorites. But it was dope to see it actually work out.
He's not on our list.
Oh, S1's not on our list?
Symbolic One. Anyways. Yeah.
So. Well, we might have to make another exemption. But yeah. No, I mean, I hope this works out for this kid, man. 350 million streams.
Dang. And you know what's crazy? That's that might just be through the DSPs, you know, because I made a video playlist for the club I work in, and like I was able to see like how much some of this stuff streams. And
yeah,
just look at, you know, because older videos, like depending on what it is, like they might have 10, 15, maybe 25 million streams.
Yeah.
Newer, like, I, you know, or it's, if it's something that hit like some sort of cultural benchmark, like still DRE.
Yeah.
Is it like 1.3 billion? I think what's the Old Town Road is knocking on 2 billion.
And
you know, and people
and
say
that just came out. How long
and people
ago?
Say, oh, ago, it only, you know, you only get this much of your streaming. But, you know, if you can get 2 billion people to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It adds up to a sizable amount.
Facts.
It's just crazy. I mean, I don't know if anybody who's listening or watching, and you know, maybe you got kids that watch, that's how they consume videos now instead of video shows.
Yeah.
You know, just look at, you know, the most popular videos and look at that number that says how many times it's been viewed. It'll blow your mind.
I can only imagine what the kids' videos.
But I mean, look, I heard something about the dude who put out the Baby Shark video.
Yeah.
That dude makes about $8 million a month.
Easy. Because everybody then remixed it too.
Yeah, so he gets a piece of whatever that is. Like I didn't put Baby Shark in the club rotation mix, but I bet it's probably been viewed more than any of those videos I put in that mix.
I bet it'd go off in the club.
It might.
They have videos.
Put a trap beat behind it.
That are just Baby Shark back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah, a Baby Shark playlist. You know, yeah. Keep your kids from knocking over stuff.
That man is a smart man. There, shout out to him. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's go to our last topic. Lone has crunched more numbers, done more graphs and charts on our producer list. I think we even have numbers now. I mean, not numbers, but our criteria is set, and
yep.
we're going to start doing some voting.
I think we have, yeah. The only thing I would say is, like, I just thought about Symbolic One, and he does have a really good, do we want to potentially put him on here? And if we do...
I'd make a quick suggestion if I could just see.
Can you scroll down on this real quick?
Yeah, we can.
To the.
I think that'll be an easy swap out.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
Maybe Marco Polo. Marco Polo hasn't done a ton. Scroll down more to the almost the yellow.
Yeah, let's see if Red August go the right way. Okay, now he is.
So scroll up above the yellow. Yeah. So we see the green. Yeah, so the green are the good ones, the ones in.
We just put Justice League back in, rightfully so.
Yeah. Any of those you would swap for S1?
Man.
Marco Polo, maybe, man.
It doesn't bother me if you do that, my personal opinion.
I feel like Marco Polo had some good stuff, but Symbolic One.
He's worked with a lot of hip-hop artists consistently, too.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at the Marco Polo swap out.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I haven't heard Marco Polo in a long time, either.
S1 is currently working with Rhapsody.
I haven't heard Shoddy Red in a long time.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But Shoddy Red had a run.
He had a run. I think S1 is working with Rhapsody right now on their next project, which I am all for.
I think it's out of all these ones that I see, I would probably Marco Polo or Tyler. Yeah, Marco Polo.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
All right, cool. So, insert one here, mine. Yeah, so we have them. Are you waiting for me to talk or something? I mean,
no, I didn't know. I didn't know how you wanted to go ahead and get started with the process.
So I think what we do is what I was thinking is when we did this for the MC stuff, we didn't really like talk about it.
Right.
We just kind of voted. But maybe since we're here, maybe it would be good to talk about and since we may not be familiar with everybody's production, maybe we can actually look up what they produced and go through it kind of live and kind of pick our numbers for each one, for each producer, if that makes sense. You know, maybe we start with some of the more known people, so it gives us a little bit more time to go through some of the other ones, we can go bottom up or top down. I don't know what you guys suggest.
What do y'all think? Because, you know, it's going to be a lot easier to, we know the top ones. We know, you know, their discographies and what they bring to the table might be quicker votes because we know what they do. I mean. You know what I'm saying?
Is this a two-part situation or?
This is a multiple-part situation.
Yeah, I was about to say, because there's no way that we're going to be able to get
this. This could probably potentially go months, which is cool. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not like it, you know, we just put them on here. Yeah. So, do you start top down or?
Yeah, we do top down.
All right. So just go ahead and just click on at the very top, I'm going to just do Pharrell first, I guess. We got this. Another person said you should take Pharrell off because he's on there twice because all of his stuff is under the Neptunes. But I don't know, man. I still think that.
I think it's separate.
I do too.
I mean, Chad is
so
involved.
Click on Diff's name so we can kind of see the people can see the criteria here. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. All right, Gucci.
All right. So our criteria are. So here's what we're kind of voting on. It's impact on peers. And upcoming producers. Now, this is 1 to 10. Production versatility, how versatile the different styles of production are used. Collaboration versatility, how versatile the artist the producer works with. I feel like I worded that weird. How often the artist makes big hits, his hit-making ability, consistency, consistently making quality material. Final product quality outside of just the beat. How often is the beat a great song? That's kind of like song worthy, so not just the beat. Body of work, how great is their overall body of work, melodic elements, and then drum programming. So we have two musical portions and the rest is just kind of like what they've done part. So I think we can probably just start at the first one maybe and kind of go down the list.
I'm with that.
Basically, so Pharrell. Farrell. Mr. Farrell. So I guess you just want to talk about influence. Where would you guys rank him for influence? What do you guys feel?
10.
I think he's 10.
Yeah.
Influence on peers and upcoming producers.
Yeah, Farrell is a...
So I guess just each of you kind of just... We can talk about it, but just give me what your final number is, and then I'll just fill it in on here. And then, blah, blah.
I'm at a 10 with Pharrell.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at one point every beat maker who went into some of these record company artists heard, "Hey, give us a Pharrell type beat."
Right. Okay.
I'm not mad at 10 either. I'll go 10 with that.
You're 10?
Yep.
Same with you, Jay?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
13? What do you think, Mike? 13-10.
13-10 a.m.
All right. So the next one is production versatility. How versatile the different styles of production use? So how is everything they make kind of the same, or does it make something that's kind of over here and then kind of over here? Now, are we going to base this based upon hip hop related styles or their whole style?
I think it has to relate to his hip hop records. How
yeah.
first, you know, versatile those are, just his hip-hop records. Because we know his bag is deeper than that, but as it relates to his hip-hop records, I think his versatility in that regard is there, but I don't know if I would give it an extremely high rating because I know his sound on all of the hip-hop records. It's very similar. Mm-hmm. So on that, for me, I'd probably go with a 7 on that.
Okay. I mean, y'all can, whenever y'all are ready.
I'd say probably about an 8.
Okay. 8?
Yeah, I think 7, you know, like, you know, honestly, other than that first one, it's going to be hard to get a 10 out of me. It's just I know what Pharrell has done and how.
Yeah, we ain't going to be throwing 10s around just because.
But that one was just kind of what it was.
His influence is undeniable, though.
You said a 7?
I said a 7 for me.
I think I'm going to go, I'm going to go 8.
8?
Yeah, I think a lot of his stuff is, I mean, when you think about, like, he has produced for, like, What was that? What was that record that he did for Kendrick?
All right.
Da, 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 da. He did All Right, but he
The one on the back end of the album. Yeah, yeah.
Where he was singing on it.
Yep. That record is cold.
Yeah. So all right. What do you say, Mike? Aight, Mike. All right.
Everybody got an accent.
The next one. Wait, what'd you say, Terry? 7?
I said 8.
8. How versatile the artist the producer works with. Now, again, is this going to be, do you think this should be just hip-hop art? I don't know. If this is just hip-hop artists, then I don't know if this is one because, well, I guess it kind of is.
Well, he's worked with,
yeah.
He got a nice little roster on his hip-hop records with the versatility from a different artist. Standpoint. He definitely has worked.
I think when I was originally thinking of this category, I was thinking specifically of how broad their production could be, not just hip hop.
Oh, okay.
You know what
That's
I mean?
That's different. Yeah.
Because I feel like in that category.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the question is.
Yeah, that's how I understood it as well.
And mm-hmm. Do you think that that's worthy of being a category?
Mm.
Since this is a hip hop producer list. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it would kill. It wouldn't kill what we have if you were to say.
There's
well,
some
we'll
people
just
are going
to
get zeros, though. Ones
right.
And zeros.
Right. Like, I don't think it would kill the list if you.
You know, if we're talking
took
about
it out.
Everybody, everything. Yeah. But maybe some people, maybe that ones and zeros might be what evens this out for some people.
Could be. Yeah,
could be. Could
maybe.
Be. In some cases,
and
it's
it doesn't
a cheat code for some people.
And I don't think it has to be like Christina Aguilera to Royce da 5'9". It could be Royce da 5'9" to Future. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's still a lot of versatility.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, he's went from
the clips
Slim
to
Thug
yeah.
to Jay-Z.
Right.
To Famlay.
Yeah.
Or is that the Neptunes? I don't know. I had to really pull that.
Kendrick.
Well, we can look
around. You mentioned Kendrick.
Happy. Fronten.
Yeah, he's
Diddy,
definitely on the.
Lenny Kravitz. Gwen. I mean, to me, if we do that,
yeah.
Pharrell's a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So. And I think it might be.
It's gonna to Jay Moore's point. It's gonna balance it out though. It's gonna handicap some people because everybody can't. They're not gonna be able to name the names that you just named. And you could have kept going. I'm sure you could have. As
yeah,
it to Pharrell.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like it's important. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a thing. I don't know.
I mean, you mentioned a lot of people from genres too.
My vote
that's
is
the branch.
My vote's to keep it.
Yeah,
so. To keep it.
All right.
I think there's a decent amount of producers on this list that have a pretty diverse group of artists that they've worked with.
Yeah.
And I guess
some
just,
of them have more, but
and
still.
In general, would you say that a producer that is more versatile is a better producer?
It depends.
I mean, that's subjective.
It's subjective.
I wouldn't say so.
It's subjective, but it's something that I myself give high marks for the
me
ability
too,
to
me
be
too.
Able to work with different types of people.
No, I do.
I
too.
Love that.
I feel like it shows more versatility and more the ability to do more different types of things musically.
I give you peas if you can do that. Yep.
All right. So I don't know. What do you guys? I say we just keep it for now.
Okay.
And Give me your numbers for
He's
for
a 10 on that one.
Yeah, he's a 10 for me.
9.
I'm going to go 9.
That was a spite 9.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
There's no way he could get a 9.
The people that he's worked with?
Go 10, man. That was a spite 9. You're right. Go 10, man. I was trying to be cute, man. No. I don't want to throw the 10s because, around, but I mean who's 10,
who,
though?
Who I don't think there's anybody that's more versatile than Pharrell. Like, he's a standard, ain't he?
I mean, Pharrell, if you want to keep it a buck, Pharrell is, like, in talks of being one of the greatest producers of all time across all genres.
It's going to be hard to remember. We said it was going to be hard to beat him. We talked about this prior to getting to this point.
Oh, for sure.
Pharrell's a walking cheat code.
I didn't want to throw a 10 out. I know I'm subscribing to what Jay Moore said, but I can't get around it, man. Like, I was just trying to be fly. It's a 10. I was just trying to be
Jay
fly.
Moore's going to be the 9.
Yeah, I'll keep that, man.
I'm going to do the 10. I can't lie, man. I ain't going to lie to
you. It's all right. Anyway. All right, so hit-making ability. How often are the artists?
Wow.
Does anybody have anything less than a 10 here?
Not me.
I mean, it would be a lie.
I'm trying not to be that person.
First one is like, damn, we got to do this for a lot of people. Yeah. Their feelings hurt.
I mean, straight up, like, there was I actually posted this in the story about a week ago. 43% of the songs that were on the radio in 06.
I remember you shared that.
Were produced by Pharrell.
Come on, man. Mm. I don't know where there's going to be peaks and valleys, obviously.
I think,
but. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen on this back end, but right now, dog, it's...
I think we'd go ahead and just record this one for everybody, but then when we see the overall numbers, we look to see how crazy skewed it is.
Okay, fair enough.
Because there's no way Pharrell should be, like, eons above DJ Premier. And if he is, then there's a problem with our list.
We have to tweak something. And it might, or Dr. Dre.
And I feel like it might be this category.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially if it's hip-hop.
I just don't want to throw... I don't want to be shooting tens out there, man, but yeah. This dude is...
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the collaboration. I'm not talking about hit-making, but anyways. Sorry. Consistency. Consistent.
That's what I was going for.
I'm sorry. My typing
consistent quality of material released.
Well, you got hawk eyes. You can see that.
I mean, he's right there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm the closest person to the TV.
Consistent.
It still looks little to me.
Because I can't see it on the computer. So.
Look little to me.
Yeah, I need to go to the eye doctor next week.
Consistency of quality material release with Pharrell.
Man,
I mean,
what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
So let me ask you this. Is this kind of the same as body work, though? How great is the overall body work, would you say?
No, because...
I mean, consistency.
He's consistency.
Speaks to your body of work.
He's literally, like, because somebody's body of work can be great, but, like, say you dropped an album 10 years ago, but you haven't dropped one since.
Gotcha.
Pharrell has literally been doing this since he started, nonstop.
Okay.
At a high level.
Man, that's messed up. Well, why ain't it messed up?
No, it's not, man. You know, but it's just like.
It's to be expected.
I don't want us to have the first conversation and it just end up being the.
Everybody
being
be
the
like,
goat.
Why would I listen to the rest of this?
Why would I hog tie the rest
why
of this?
Why would I hog tie? Some of these people about to get hog tied based off
you
how
know
it
what?
Started.
This is why we should go from the bottom up.
Probably so.
All right, let's, okay.
I mean, well, let's finish
yeah,
Pharrell.
Let's finish Pharrell and make it see how it's hard it's going to be for everybody else.
We want y'all to not tune out if you haven't already.
Yeah, we got to go to the bottom so we can start hog tying because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why would I hog tie?
All right.
Should not be laughing at that. That's...
Hey, some of these dudes at the bottom about to get hog tied, though. That's real.
Yeah.
All right, consistent. See of quality material release for Pharrell. Give me some numbers for you guys.
I mean
what do we just want to throw any number out there just to not make it a 10?
No. Okay. I'd say be accurate.
That was a joke.
He's pretty he's pretty consistent, man. Now everything Pharrell drop ain't. Let's be realistic.
I'll give him an 8.
Yeah, I'll go 8.
I'll give him
all of them don't hit like that.
I'm probably gonna go. Yeah, you said 8, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go 9.
Yeah, I'm going to go 8 on that one.
Oh, 7? God. Okay. Okay. Can't hear you.
You see? Yeah, he's talking to himself. Red August says 7.
There's a microphone, though.
He never uses it. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Red August being honest, though. We respect it.
I was between, like, 9 and 8, but...
Yeah. He, Terry said, what are we doing?
He very rarely misses, and even when he misses, like...
Yeah.
I feel like it's intentional. Mm. Like he'll do like a stupid pop song, but it's like that's what he meant
and
to
the
do.
Misses aren't
they still hitting? I mean,
look, see,
he's got eight on the radio right now. I know he has a Snow Allegra song.
Yep.
Well, the one with Jay-Z and Pusha T just came out, but
that
it's not
counts
on the radio yet. The Despicable Me 2 song.
That's what I mean. Like he can do all of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like even some of it, even though it's kind of corny, that's he means it to be.
Yeah.
So you can't really knock him for it.
I mean, he understands the assignment.
Yeah. Yeah.
He understands the assignment.
All right. So next is final product quality outside of just the beat. Outside of just the beat, how often is it a great song? Is the beat a great song?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with eight.
I will say this. A lot of records that I hear from Pharrell, I go to the beat first.
I'm the other way around.
With him. Not saying his songwriting is dope, but I'm always, when Pharrell produces a record, I gravitate towards the beat first.
Okay, you said eight, right?
Mm-hmm. Seven.
I'm going to go seven.
Hold on. Outside of just the beat, how often the beat, so this is like how great of the songs that he makes.
That's what I'm saying. Like the records that he produces.
Okay.
All of them, he has dope records, but I'm not going to say all of them blow me away every time I hear him. There are some records where I'm like, the beat was cold, but the record is cool overall.
Got you. So Jay, you said seven?
Yep.
And I'm with him on that.
Seven.
I said eight.
Said eight. Seven for Maha. Siete. And you got.
Oh. now he got the break.
All right. So the question is.
Oh, man.
How great. No. Outside of just the beat, how often the beat is a great song? So if like. No, yeah, I worded this bad. How often are the songs great from his beats? So the songs made from his beats, how often are the songs great?
Truly lying on the artist in order to make it a great song.
Like how much is his producer aspect part
there
of it?
There it is.
You know?
There it is.
Yeah, I think I'm also going to go nine. Cause, all right, great body work.
That's attention.
Man.
That's a 10-piece. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a 10-piece, man.
10.
I think this is great that we're doing Pharrell first, and then everybody's going to have to wait till we get up to everybody else to see
how it pans out.
How
man, this is...
Because he's hog-tying the whole list right
the
now.
The whole list right now.
Yeah, I don't think anybody...
And this is just the Pharrell portion of the show. This is right. We haven't even gotten to the Neptunes part.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Now I think we might have to... Cut the Neptunes out like the person suggested. They gonna mess around and have nines.
Yeah,
it is
different.
It is.
And might be better.
We'll have to.
Because the Snow Allegra record, that's the Neptunes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That is a Neptunes track.
Yeah.
But the thing about when we talk about the Neptunes production,
yeah,
it's not as often as the Pharrell production.
True.
True.
And you talked about the valleys and stuff in the careers and mm-hmm. putting stuff out, so that's going to count as well. So the Neptunes might get hogtied a little bit. I don't know.
They ain't going to get hogtied. No. There's a whole lot of people on this list that are going to get hogtied.
Oh, man.
But
I can't wait till we start hogtying some of these people. The comments is going to be lit. I'm sorry. We got to keep it a buck.
How great are the melodic elements that the producer uses?
Come on, man.
I mean,
it's starting to get spooky, man.
It really is because
when you think about what he's done
and what he's known
music,
for,
period.
He's known for not sampling.
Yeah.
Pharrell is
because he's actually a Pharrell
is a musician, and that's why I always get. I can't lie to myself on this because everything about Pharrell is what I love to champion in producers. All of it.
It's a 10 for me on that.
Like
it's got to be
10.
All right, man.
When he gets his Lifetime Achievement Award,
yeah.
Man, when they start playing that reel, you're going to be like, come on, man.
Does anybody not have a 10 on that?
I'm going to go 9.
You're going to go 9?
Just because.
I'm trying to be fly again, huh?
Turn this.
All right, we'll give you a 9. Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go 9, man. Good Lord, man. This is going to be, some piece of people going to be unhappy.
Man, if you're mad at Pharrell, then something might be wrong with you.
How well did you wear your Arby's hat?
Well, no, I wasn't a big fan of the Arby's hat. Yeah.
Now, next is drum programming. How great is the drum programming from Pharrell?
Mike don't like grinding.
I don't.
Grinding.
Yeah, that one song.
What happened to that boy's better than grinding, for the record?
I'll give him a, find me in the comments. I'm going to give him an 8 on that one.
His drums are dope. They don't slap. They aren't.
They don't slap.
It's more so the other elements of the song.
Yeah. I mean, nah, I give
his
it
drum,
7.
His drum programming is cool, though. I 7 on that.
Yeah. I'll probably say about 7. But the other parts of the song do so much to it.
Yeah. I think bring also, I think also it, I like the fact that his a lot of times his drums seem like they're actually drums.
Well, that too.
You know,
his programming is good, but I know people that have way better drums.
A lot of his drums are consistently the same.
True.
A little right. bit too, honestly.
Okay.
He got it. The Neptunes definitely have a sound with their production. So with the
that was
the kit.
Not to cut you off, but so we have our first overall. Hold on, I think actually this. There's no way this is right. Yeah.
What is it?
The overall rank for Terry was 8.2, but that's not right because it's divided by the. We cut a category, so 1, 2. Category. So let me divide those numbers by 9. Terry, it was a 9.1.
Ooh.
So Pharrell's already higher than any ranking that we got for our MC list.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he's cold, though.
Hey, man.
He's cold. When you legendary, you know, we nitpick
this,
legends.
This is goat talk.
Yeah, this is goat talk. So I guess next week we'll start the hog time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
gonna be fun.
Dang, I can't believe I gave him a 9.3. He's not even one of my favorite producers.
Dang,
but you told the truth though. Long we talked about it. You told the truth
when you start breaking it down into categories.
Yeah, that's what
opposed to just going off of the heart.
We pride ourselves. We pride ourselves on keeping it a buck on all our lists.
I mean,
because right?
that's what it was with the MC list. You know.
Yeah,
I don't think we have time for anybody else today.
We can start hog time next week.
Yeah.
Gonna take some time though, so we might have to.
We might have to do some of this before the show, and just kind of go over it, maybe.
Maybe if we have time, I kind of like talking through it. To be honest, I don't really. Here's what I'll say: I don't mind if this series takes a long time because we only talk about it for like 15 minutes an episode, and I think people will get into it.
Yeah.
Well,
so y'all let us know.
Let us know.
Until somebody comes behind us and tries to do the same thing we're doing.
Yeah.
And do it real fast.
Yeah, but that's always going to happen.
Hey, we've been down that road before.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably going to happen. I mean, that happened last week or last month. So
somebody watching.
It always feels like somebody's watching us.
Yeah.
Dr. Rockwell.
All right, man.
Had a creepy video.
Facts.
Yeah, I thought Thriller was creepy, but that somebody's Rockwell, watching me video
was a little spooky.
Was creep show.
All right, man. That's gonna do it for this episode. Before Lone starts doing the music for Always Flex, somebody's watching me.
Funk Dubious. Somebody said
okay, that's not what that is, but
I did. Actually.
Nobody wants to know. You gonna gas him up? I gotta get us out of here. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. We appreciate the support. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.